There was a story posted, it may have been this morning, I think it was. It's first in a series by Jeff Adelson and Jillian Kramer in NOLA.com. And I just finished reading it, and I said, you know what, we're going to talk about this morning, because I have to say, and I want to say up front, they did a great job. I don't know what the other episodes are going to be like in this series and in the writings, but in this one, they were spot on in telling the story about the frustration of murder victims' families and the length of time that it takes in most Louisiana courts, not just New Orleans, albeit New Orleans happens to be the slowest court in the processing of murder cases in the state of Louisiana. But the heartbreak, the cost to the community, and all of these other issues, because some of these cases are taking 9 years to move through the system. The averages in some of the most forward-leaning jurisdictions across the country are way shorter. Some are a third of that. Some are half of that. And it's an issue that we've all seen in most of our careers. If you worked in Louisiana, we had a period of time in Jefferson Parish where we had experienced the same thing. I was in jail over crowded conditions. I was having to make decisions of armed robbers and rapists and stuff like this every day as to who we were going to let out. These are not easy decisions. We used an objective criteria to evaluate these folks. We had the assistance of most of the judges, if not all. And, you know, it was working, but we would hit periods of time where, especially in the female population or in the mental health population, where we were taxed because of the backlog. And again, this is not rocket science. What this requires is an attention to detail on each individual player within the criminal justice system. But just as importantly, it requires collaboration and cooperation. And the mantra should be that we have people's lives who have been permanently altered. And this makes a difference. This is a difference maker to the victims' families. To have them experience and re-energize the PTSD that they've experienced, especially if they were there on the scene, especially if they witnessed it. And how many times do they have to tell their story? That's one of the byproducts of this. But more importantly, it really is a clog in the system that needs to be cleared. And if you look at the makeup of the jail, for example, and we'll talk more about this with Rafael Goyeneche in the noon hour, as to how many people that are there that are in there for murder for all of those years. And the financial impact of holding these people for all those years. Sometimes it's a simple tweak. Not always. In my view, for what it's worth, I think we need to have a lot more proactive judges. I think they need to start holding both sides' feet to the fire. I think there needs to be a much more robust pretrial activity that goes on. There has to be definitive dates that we need to hold to, especially if we have out-of-town witnesses coming in. I mean, I've heard stories of witnesses coming in 3, 4, 5, 6 times, flying in. Family members who no longer live here, or who never lived here, who lost a member of their family, who want to be in the court. That's part of how they deal with the grief in their life. And yet they're coming back over and over and over again, only to hear that the case has been continued. This is a real issue that needs to be resolved sooner rather than later. It's not a new issue. It's probably been around about 30 years. But it really is going to take kind of a task force approach amongst those in the criminal justice system to try and clear this backlog of cases that we have, to try and move them through the courts as quickly as possible. You know, we have all kinds of evidentiary issues there, access to DNA. Maybe, you know, at some point in time, there should be a meeting, and Governor Jeff Landry's been very amenable to making improvements, and maybe he's willing to do this, is to expand the state police crime lab. A vast majority of law enforcement agencies within the state of Louisiana rely on that crime lab. Others do not. And maybe there can be a priority for murder cases, or maybe there can be two shifts that are worked in the DNA lab to try and clear this backlog of where DNA is actually critical to the case. Now, some people would say, well, no, that's crazy. Well, the reality is that on the investigative side, we have to prioritize how many samples we actually want tested. We have to figure out whether or not the samples that were tested are really meaningful to the case. And it can't be that we're just throwing 30, 40, 50, 60 samples into the lab, because the throughput in a DNA lab is not that great, and it's very costly. But it is a piece of evidence, and it is a process that's incredibly effective. It's great evidence. My sense is that there are a whole lot of people that overutilize it. They're not appropriately trained. They don't understand how the technology truly works or otherwise, and they're not really thinking about the case as to whether or not this has any value add from an evidentiary perspective to the case. Part of the problem is that television has created false expectations of jurors that they feel like if there's no DNA, you know, this thing didn't happen. Well, DNA and fingerprints and other types of evidence like that are really on equal standing. It's not one any more important than the other. There's not one that you're going to likely get a result on more than any other. There are challenges with every type of technology. I get it. But those are excuses that we just have to work through. Now think about the following. In the city of New Orleans, they will not have their DNA lab up, if everything goes according to script, until 2027. So this problem is going to continue to be exacerbated. We will be building on more and more murder cases. The NOPD has been very successful in their solution to murder cases. They've increased their solution rate by probably 60%, which is huge, something to be celebrated. But the downstream implication of saying is that the system is choked and is choking more today than probably it will ever choke because of the success of the NOPD. I've only said that for 8 years now being on radio. It'll be 8 years in September that I've been on radio. And we've talked about this issue. Be careful what you ask for. We all want a more effective and efficient law enforcement agency. But is the rest of the system prepared? Obviously not. Because we are in jail overcrowded conditions, again and still. The throughput in criminal district court is lacking. That is the one most single important component to you being safe on the streets of your city is throughput in criminal district court. The sooner that you can selectively incapacitate the impact criminal and get them locked up, because the NOPD's arrest are only as good as the DA Jason Williams prosecution, which hopefully leads to a successful outcome, a guilty verdict, that we get to take them off the streets for a period of time and enjoy the fact that they're not out there wreaking havoc on the quality of life and the safety of our communities day in and day out, because impact criminals are in the business of crime. Nothing else. Not a whole lot of anything that they have to offer that's redeeming at all. And the sooner that we come to that realization, the better off we're going to be. There's a direct correlation with how many inmates are in jail right now and the fact that crime is down in Orleans Parish. But the jail is never going to be big enough for us to sit on our laurels and the rest of the system and not move cases, move cases, move cases, move cases. Everyone's taxed for human capital. Maybe it's time that we think about how we might be able to do something differently here. I remember many, many years ago in the city of New York back in the 80s, they had some of the same problems, and they started screening cases in a much more expedited fashion to figure out whether or not they were going to really be able to gather and garner the evidence necessary to charge an individual and hold them, or whether they should be released, continue the investigation of the case, but to really kind of get into the pieces of evidence to make sure that they satisfied probable cause, and things of that nature, and dispense of those issues within 12 to 18 hours of arrest. It was very effective. It slowed that end of the system down a little bit, gave the others an opportunity to catch up. Unfortunately, it put a lot of the criminals back out on the street. But what it compelled was the NOPD to do a much better job in the establishment of probable cause, a documentation of evidence and everything at the scene. And they became a better organization for it. These are the kind of fundamental changes that need to be explored and experimented with sooner rather than later. More of a shock and awe approach to this situation, because time is important and we don't have much. Because meanwhile, as was pointed out very eloquently in this article done by Jeff Adelson and Jillian Kramer, is that we have a lot of other casualties. We have a community that's hurting. We have a victim community that's mystified, confused, frustrated. They feel like no one's listening. They can't get answers. They're scratching their head, wondering, what are the next steps that I have to go through in this system? Is this truly justice? Is this how it works for all cases? A lot of times, we fail to see the obvious. And the obvious simply is, if you lose the public's trust, you have to work three times as hard to get it back. And quite frankly, most organizations don't have the time nor the energy, right, to work that three times as hard to get it back. Because they're busting their backs now. You have to manage it and massage that very carefully. You can't afford to lose it. And maybe the recognition comes about by sitting in the same room together more often. Judges, DAs, enforcement people, looking at the system critically in the mirror every day, making observations as to how they can improve. We've seen a recent happenstance where that's actually worked. Obviously not in the criminal justice system, but it's emblematic of becoming more transparent, level of comfort with everyone. You're not finger-pointing, you're problem-solving. You realize that some of these challenges are not that difficult to overcome. What may at first blush look like a high hurdle may end up being a low hurdle or no hurdle at all. And that was in the preparation for the Super Bowl. Brought a lot of people into a room that have never really sat together. Sat down and listened to what they were doing. Sat there and gained a better understanding of the perspective of the different agencies that are participating in the criminal justice system. We know there's a breakdown in communication. We had a sheriff who was just held in contempt by the chief judge of the Criminal District Court of New Orleans. These are not healthy anecdotes. These are emblematic of a problem or a system that is sick. And when you finish reading the first in this series of reports that'll be done, I think this article is like 26 pages long. It's worth reading. They did a great job, not to beat a dead horse, but they did a great job in encapsulating, capturing the essence of the community's angst and anxiety and pain. We should remind ourselves that that's who we're working on behalf of. Those are our clients. Just a thought. Might be nice to all sit in the same room weekly, develop lists of things that we can do better, develop priorities. There's nothing. You're not violating any ethical rules by doing this. You're working on the system. You're improving the system. Nobody has to divulge what's going on in a case. These are system problems. System issues. Point of contact. Cooperations. Just communicating with people at certain times of the day so that they don't engage in an exercise or a function when the court's not ready for them. You know how much time that saves for the other person? And you can resolve that with a 10-second phone call, a text, or an email? It's amazing. Where you have people that are pushing things along. It's like the folks standing inside of the Walmart. Facilitators, greeters. How can I help you? What are you looking for? Where do you need to go? Why should you look at 20 aisles when I can narrow this thing down to 2? Right? Same thing applies here. As I said before, it's not rocket science. Your takeaway here, after reading this article, is that this needs to be done. Something needs to be done. This is just a suggestion on my part today, not tomorrow. It needs to start happening now. We should take the feelings of the community very seriously. And then and only then will we start reading stories, unlike the one that I read early this morning, about where people are moving to, right? You know what city was never mentioned? In the article, they talked about state of Texas. Where are those people moving? State of California. Where are they moving? State of Virginia. Where are they moving? State of this. Where are they moving? What city? The city that was never mentioned, not once, New Orleans. Our successes here will create a byproduct that people will put New Orleans on that list. We'll be right back.